it's sad as people leave. And, you know, we've grown to love and value Brian as he's led the men's ministry and other ministries. Now, we have another family that's leaving. And so we would just want to call up Ken and Linda. They're actually moving away because they've got a grandchild coming. That's kind of an exciting reason to move. Last year on the Feast of Trumpets, I reminded you that it's a practice rehearsal. It's a rehearsal for what's going to be happening sometime in the future. Someday that future is going to happen. The Lord is going to return. The trumpet will blow. And what did they do on the Feast of Trumpets? They blew the shofar. Now, if you have a shofar or a trumpet or a hose with something on the end of it that you can blow, bring it next Sunday. We're going to blow the shofar, the horns, the hose with a funnel on the end of it. We're going to blow them. And okay, that's next Sunday. All right, so now, look how much time we have. Let's talk about spiritual gifts, but maybe we should stand first because it's been a long morning. We're going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you are coming. We know you're coming. We don't know exactly when, but we're starting to get goosebumps that it could be soon and very soon. Oh my goodness. Lord, and so I ask that you would help us to be ever so ready. It's the hope of the church that you are coming. It's not someday way off in the future. You want us to feel like it's coming soon. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Lord, may we live with that sense of expectation that you are coming imminently. May we behave like that. May we live like that. Whew. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So now we're talking about spiritual gifts. We started a Sunday or two ago looking at various kinds of gifts. First of all, I gave you a handout sheet this morning. You don't worry. We're not going to make it through that. We might just touch on it, but we're not. So don't sweat and say, oh, no, this is going to go on until 2 o'clock today. We'll never get out of here. What about lunch? Okay, just relax. There's lots of spiritual gifts, and we see various lists in the Bible of spiritual gifts, and there's many of them. So we're just reviewing a couple of weeks ago, some people have divided all those gifts up into three different broad sections. 1 Corinthians 12 seems to suggest that. But now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source for them all. So we looked at ministry gifts last week, and today, or a week or two ago, and today we're going to be looking at what some call as motivational gifts. And there are different distributions of divine energy motivating these gifts. And then we'll be looking at manifestational gifts later. So we looked at the fivefold ministries, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, a couple weeks ago. Today we're starting to look at the motivational gifts. Now, some people take the list that's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, and find these motivational gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. And say, you know, God doesn't just do something for the church, give us the gifts of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and he doesn't just do the motivational or manifestational gifts, the things that we see, power gifts, the reception gifts, and the proclamation gifts, but he also motivates us to see life differently, to respond to life differently. It's happening inside us. And so they refer to these as the motivational gifts. Now, God created the world in many different colors. I like bright colors at the moment. The brighter, the better. You know, fluorescent yellow. I like fluorescent yellow. Fluorescent blue. For every fluorescent color, I like them. But fuchsia, I got this thing about fuchsia at the moment. I like fuchsia. Now, I don't paint my fingernails or toenails, but if I did, they would probably be fuchsia. I was downtown the other day and thought, the girls have all the favorite colors. They got the fuchsia pants. I'd like a pair of fuchsia pants. Yeah, I know. It feels a little strange, but I like it. What about a fuchsia car? You know, a fuchsia sofa, a fuchsia house. I mean, but what if everything was fuchsia? Your Christmas tree, a fuchsia Christmas tree. Wouldn't that be awesome? Fuchsia slippers. I mean, it'd be awesome. But now, if everything was fuchsia, then it would no longer be fun. You know, I actually don't want you to wear fuchsia, just me. Well, now, the Lord created us all differently. There's variety in the house of God. Variety. Well, and so he's given us different motivations that drive us. We see things different. We act different. We behave different. We respond different to life. So the motivational gifts are what motivate us, what drives us, what inwardly gives us flight and life. And I mean, it just moves us forward. This is how we see life. It's through the particular motivational gift that God has given us. Well, let's read this passage in Romans chapter 12 and just kind of get an overall view of it. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Now, I always wanted to do everything well, but God has given each of us, the ability to do certain things well. You can do some things better. Well, no. Most of you can do a lot of things better than I can do. And then some things better than someone else can do, and better than somebody else can do. But others can do something better than you can do, because God has given us these various abilities. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have the faith that God is speaking through you. And if your gift is serving others, well, serve them well. And if you are a teacher, then do a good job at teaching. If you your gift is that of encouragement, then encourage others well. If you have money, well, then share it generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing mercy to others, then do it gladly. Did you feel all those various different motivations? The things that you do well, Paul is saying, then do it. Do it well. Okay, well, let's look at these somewhat individually. We're going to start off with the motivational gift of prophecy. Now, I'm not saying that this verse only has to do with motivation, but I'm saying we can look at it that way and say, you know, I am kind of wired this way. And if you're wired that way, then Paul says, then do it well. So the verse is Romans 12, verse 6. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out when you have the faith that God is speaking through you. Now, this could easily speak about the manifestational gift of prophecy, and we're going to look about that in a few weeks from now. But it could also have the ability to speak about how we're wired. So the motivation to look at life as being prophetic is to perceive and to declare divine truth. What really wires you, what really makes you tick is, what does God think about this? That's what makes, and so you're searching out what God thinks about it, how God feels about it, and that's how you feel about it. You don't care about anything else. If God says this, that's how I'm feeling. So people with the motivational gift of prophecy, they're the eyes of the body of Christ, because they have insight or intuitive sense about people and situations as they really are before God. And then they encourage, they exhort, and they comfort people. They're trying to push people forward to be closer to God. Now, sometimes when we think of the motivational gifts of prophecy, we think of the Old Testament prophet. Long nose, long finger, pointing at you, and say, get right with God, you know, turn or burn. And Actually, in the New Testament, Paul is real clear about it, that the person with the gift of prophecy is to encourage, exhort, and comfort. So instead of lighting the fire underneath you, trying so that you can feel hell coming, someone with the gift of prophecy encourages people. It's a whole different motivation. It's not to burn you, it's to encourage you into where you should be with God. You're not quite there yet. And they want to help you see, you're really not going down the right path right this moment. This isn't really quite right, but they try to do it in an exhorting, an encouraging, an exhorting, and comforting way. So characteristics of one who has the motivational gift of prophecy is, yes, they are direct, and they can be frank and persuasive in their speaking. In other words, they have it fairly clear in their mind and in their perspective, and they say it like it is. They're concerned about the reputation of God and the program of God. There's a dependency upon the Bible. Now, so for them, this is the bottom line. There's a lot of good books around, but this is the bottom line. And so they depend on the Bible to validate authority and what a person should be doing. They have the ability to discern character and the motives of people. I mean, it's almost eerie that they know something about you that they shouldn't know because you didn't tell them. Who have they been talking to anyway? How'd they know that about you? And yet they just have this intuitive sense that it's kind of, they don't even know where, they think everybody feels this way and can think this way. But no, other people don't even have a clue. But they do. There's a willingness to experience on their part a brokenness and to prompt brokenness. In other words, that scripture verse to repent and turn to God. I mean, they live with that sense of we need to be right with God, and when someone else isn't right with them, they feel God's heart over it, and they see their own weaknesses, and there's that brokenness and sense of need for repentance in their life. There's the desire for outward evidence to demonstrate inward conviction. So if you're feeling if God is doing something in your life, well then we should be able to see it on the outside. If you're still living like the world, then something's wrong. And there's a capacity to identify, to define, and love what God loves and hate what God hates. I mean, they're just wired this way. And you think to yourself, why are these guys so strange? Well, that's just how they're wired. Not necessarily strange, but there's that drivenness to do what the Bible says. Well, a biblical example of this would be John the Baptist. I mean, he discerned people's motives as if he knew something about them without them even telling him. He could speak boldly and frankly into their lives. And for some reason, people by the thousands came to listen to him speak. And he would preach hard at them. You repent, turn from your wicked ways. And they would listen to him and do it. And he looked for repentance. I mean, there needed to be more than just an inward, yep, I accept Jesus. There needed to be a change in their behavior. Well, that's how the person with the prophetic gift behaves. So what are some evidence that maybe you might have the motivational gift of prophecy? Well, the person with the motivational gift of prophecy is upfront and vocal about what they think. Now, not every opinionated person. There's a lot of opinionated people. I just want to clarify that. Just because you're upfront and vocal doesn't mean you have a prophetic gift. It could just mean you've got a problem. Just because you're outspoken doesn't mean you're prophetic. I just don't want to, you know, put that on you. You can just tell people, oh, I'm just prophetic. You know, you might have a problem you need to deal with, okay? Integrity is of vital importance to the prophetic person, and they detest compromise. I mean, they even keep an eye on others and watch their behavior. And if they're compromising in anything, then all of a sudden there's a red mark, you know. So they make quick evaluations and see things either as right or wrong. There is no gray with these guys. No gray. If you paint everything in shades of gray and Pascals, you're not going to be a friend of these guys. These guys only have right and wrong. Now, they find it easy to discern the character and motives of others. Why some of us are still kind of scratching our head and saying, you know, I think that's a really nice person. They're saying, ha-ha, you want to know about that person? Let me tell you. And you're thinking, I don't know. Where'd you get all that anyway? That they don't mind confrontation. Some of us hate confrontation. We'll do anything to avoid confrontation, but not these guys. In fact, they find it important to face people with the consequences of their negative actions. Whew. Maybe you're married to one. All right. Now, if you have the key ability to discern someone else's dirt, and you're almost keenly and constantly aware of their faults and the tendency to speak critically, that's not an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I just needed to clarify that because I've been implying that, you know, seeing stuff about people is prophetic, but being critical of others isn't an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we are to mine the gold and not the dirt. You know, just about everybody here has an innate ability to see other people's dirt. Some are more gifted at it than others. But that's not a spiritual gift. I just need to clarify that this morning. We get nothing else out of this. Looking at other people's junk isn't a spiritual gift. In fact, if you're mining dirt and thinking it's a spiritual gift, you're seriously mistaken. Anyone can be critical and demeaning. In fact, Jesus warned us about seeing the speck in someone else's eye and missing the log in our own. The difference between that and prophetic people is they see their own stuff. I mean, they're broken over their own dirt. I mean, in fact, it makes them feel completely unworthy. The prophetic person not only sees other people's stuff, they know their own stuff hugely. I mean, it's just painted on the wall. And there's a sense that drives them to their knees, and it makes them sweet in talking to others. Even though they know the other person has challenges, they want to help the other person. They want to comfort, exhort, and encourage the other person. We can do this together. Well, what are some typical problem areas of the person with the motivational gift of prophecy? There's that my initial response is to judge and expose offenders rather than to restore them. Okay, that's the initial, that's the fleshly response. I forget to praise partial progress in others since I tend to focus on the end goal. See, they want you to complete the whole thing and forget about the small steps. I tend to correct people who are not my responsibility. You ever had people correct you that you're thinking, hold it, that came out of left field. Where did that come from? Well, sometimes they're just so eager, they correct people who aren't their responsibility. I'm often intolerant of opinions and views that differ from my own. And I tend to dwell on the negative rather than the positive. So we need to sweeten up if you're prophetic. Look at your own faults and then allow God to birth that in you, a passion to help others. So what ministries are people with the motivational gift of prophecy often very good at? What should they be doing? What could they be doing at? Well, they're exceptional. Now, hold on. I actually had a list about this long, and then I tried to squeeze it up really small. So here's the small list. I mean, they can do a lot of things, but they're often really good at boards and committees because you need someone who can make fast decisions and be fairly accurate at doing it. They're good at that. They're great at Christian education because God's word is the most important thing in their life. You often find them in music. Talk to a music team, and they're often got lots of prophetic leanings of people. They're great with security because you're not going to get past them. They're great on missions committees. They're great with communications and media. I mean, they're articulate. They're good at outreach ministries and counseling and prayer intercession. Now, prayer and intercession, this is them. I mean, you find a group that meets for prayer, and you're going to find a group of prophetic people. They're creative, often in the arts of some sort. They could be, I put daycare there, but I meant, they're great at instructing people of all ages, including children. They're great with devotional material as leaders. They're good in small groups, and they're great at speaking. And they're good at discipleship, leadership, visions, and visitation. Now, there's a ton of other things they're great at, but that's a good start. Now, we're going to leave all the rest of it for another Sunday, but why don't we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word and for how you made us different. I mean, you gave the body of Christ so many different elements, how we even look at life, how we respond to one another, how we help one another. We pray for everyone here that you have given that specific motivation, that inner drive to look at things prophetically, to be able to hear from you things that the rest of us don't hear. And yet it's so clear, so just normal life to them. I ask that you would increase the prophetic amongst us. Help those with this motivational gift to know, hey, that is me. I'm going to develop that. I'm going to be good at this. I'm going to be good at encouraging and comforting and exhorting people. I'm going to look at my own stuff and repent way over that. And so that when I see other people's stuff, I won't be mining the dirt. I'll be mining the gold. And we'll be walking together, encouraging one another in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning,